This is 91.7 WVXU's Cincinnati Edition. I'm Marianne Zalesnik, filling in for Mark Haney, who's out today. Later in the show, we'll hear about Cincinnati's abandoned subway. It's been 100 years since work began on a subway system in the Queen City. But first, Creative Mornings. It's a free monthly lecture series designed to get people thinking about everything from change to ethics. This month's topic is risk. Joining me to talk about the program are Cincinnati chapter host and UX UI designer at Listener, Jeremy Toby, April's event speaker, Durham brand and company founder, Austin Dunbar, and frequent Creative Mornings attendee and assistant director of communications at Union Institute and University, Michelle Roth. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Well, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm certainly glad to have all of you here today. And I think, Jeremy, we're going to start with you. Tell us, for somebody that has never heard of Creative Mornings, what is it?
Creative Mornings, simply, it's a monthly breakfast lecture series designed to connect and kind of support our local creative community and then kind of give us ability to connect through the global community as well.
So what do you do?
So we host free monthly breakfast lectures. So usually the last Friday of every month, they open to about 100, 120 people. We provide free coffee and breakfast and invite someone, a speaker with local ties, so either someone who grew up here or someone who currently works here, to address our monthly themes. So all the chapters across the world talk about the same topic each month. So, you know, obviously Austin's coming in to talk about risk this month.
And you say that, you know, all the topics are the same throughout the country. How many of these are there? How many Creative Mornings are there?
I think as of last week, we're at 140 chapters in about 55 countries, I believe.
Wow. And so it started out in New York. Is that
yes.
right?
Yes. Yep.
Very
in
good.
Brooklyn.
And how long has it been in Cincinnati?
We've had ours for just over 3 years. Last month was our three-year anniversary.
Now, Michelle, why don't you tell us a little bit? You're a regular attendee. Why do you go?
There's a lot of things about Creative Mornings that I really like. One thing that I really enjoy is that it's so democratic. Like, you don't need to be in a specific club. You don't have to be a specific profession. You don't need to know a secret handshake. You just need to be able to register before all those seats are sold out and show up. And it's a great thing because it gets us out of our offices. It gets us out of, you know, puts your brain on something you haven't been thinking about. You know, we constantly get buried in what we're working on. This forces me once a month to go somewhere and learn about a topic I haven't been thinking about. You know, we've had, it's not just visual art either. We have had like theater people, dance people, chefs. You never know like who's going to be the speaker. You just always know it's going to be great. So there are lots of things I really like about it.
When you look out into the audience, who do you see? Who comes?
I would say we have probably about half of the audience is designers, either in-house or agency designers or freelance. The other half, it really depends on the speaker. We've had a couple people approach us recently. A lady who works at one of the big banks downtown, she said she's convinced her daughter to come with her, so they're regular attendees. We also have some people who work in IT, so spend most of the day like working on servers and server rooms that come out, and this is kind of their chance to get to know our community and connect with everyone.
Austin, do you attend as well? Or
yes, ma'am.
So you've attended as well as being a speaker. Tell me why you go.
It's good to kind of see the behind the scenes of what people are talking about. You know, nowadays everything's kind of based off social media or their website or whatever the case may be, and it's kind of good and interesting to go in and look at these people who you either look up to or you're friends with and kind of hear different insights and perspectives and know-hows of why they do their business, how they do their business, framed in via the Creative Mornings topic for that month. So whether it's risk, ethics, you know, and it's challenging too to think of your own business or whatever that person's doing to funnel what they're doing through that avenue that you're having to speak to. So it's always interesting too to kind of listen in and hear how they're delivering on the message that they're supposed to speak on. So that's always kind of a fun thing to be a part of.
Have you used a lot of that information? Have you taken what you've learned and been able to apply it to everyday work?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's some of it's tidbits and some of it's like, oh, who said that one thing? For the most part, for me, what's nice is just getting that insight into what other creatives are doing in this city. You know, the city has a diverse talent pool, whether it's design, acting, dance, we talked about it, and kind of having kind of this nucleus once a month to get whoever to kind of come on board and join these kind of cross categories of jobs, I think is really nice. So.
And you mentioned there's like 120 seats available each time, and you, Michelle, talked about, gosh, you got to get in there first. Is there any talk to expand? Does it fill up every month?
Yeah, we actually, so in the whole, in our 3 years doing this, we've had an average of about 100 people per month. So we've never really had extra seats. You know, we've been very fortunate that way. But for the most part, our attendees are kind of governed by the spaces we have here in Cincinnati. You know, our events are all free, which means most of the pieces that go into the events are free too, which includes venues. So we look for people who have space to fit, you know, at least 100 people who are willing to donate some time, resources, and in some cases, in case of like theaters and things, actually get up really early compared to their normal day and come in and help us set up and host an event in the morning. So,
what are some of the places you've held them?
Oh, we've been at the Niehoff Urban Studio over on Short Vine. We've been at No Theater, Ensemble Theater last month. We're at Braxton Brewery this month. So kind of it's a nice cross-section of any place that kind of has community gathering anyway.
Mm-hmm. There is also something nice that it's in these different locations, because not only are you getting out of your office and listening to something new, but it's forcing you to go to a place that you maybe have never been to. Oh. And it's always near downtown or it's in downtown. And that makes it interesting, too. It doesn't feel like you're going to the same thing over and over again.
You mentioned a mother and daughter going together. Do you find all age ranges?
Yeah, it definitely depends on the topic. We had Tommy Ruff from Happen come down and talk about, I think his was childhood, it was, you know, a year or two ago. And he actually had students from recent colleges, and there was some actual, like, middle grade school kind of students that showed up. Most of the time, it's 20 to 40-year-olds, probably average. But yeah, we dip into, like, having kids come in, and I'd love to see more students and more young people get involved.
Now, Jeremy, did you bring it to town? Were you the person that got it started
yes.
here?
Yeah.
And had you been to other cities and seen it? I mean, what made you decide to try to bring it here?
I hadn't been to any, but probably the year leading up to us applying, I did watch a lot of them online. And it was one of those things where I was kind of frustrated for not having it here. And one of the messages that our founder in Brooklyn, one of the things she always says is if you found yourself complaining about something, you have two choices. You either stop complaining or you do something about it. And I think after hearing that kind of over and over, it's like, okay, you catch yourself complaining. You're like, no, let's see what it takes to get involved. And, you know, and we have a team of 10 people now, and none of us have really done what we do for Creative Mornings as a day job. So we came in kind of blind going, well, it's just all about hustle. Like, we're just going to do what we need to do to get this done. So it's been a great learning experience, even internally for our team.
How's it funded?
For us, it's local partnerships. So it's nice the fact that everything is free. Most of it is free. Like, our speakers, they donate their time. Venues donate their time. Our only big expense would be breakfast and coffee. So we look for we have a lot of agencies or small community groups that we reach out to either help with in-kind donations or help with sponsorship funds to cover breakfast.
We're talking about Creative Mornings. If you have a question or a comment, 513-419-7100 or email us, talk@wvxu.org, or also on Facebook and Twitter. The topic coming up this month is risk. Mm-hmm. And Austin, you're going to talk about it. How'd you prepare? What are you going to say?
Without giving it all away. Really, I think I'm going to start off kind of with my story and what Durham Branding Company is, how it started, where I kind of came from. And I think a lot of that kind of stems from my upbringing and kind of growing up overseas and traveling, spending most of my life mostly in Japan and kind of hopping from country to country. That also applied in my post-college career, too. I kind of hopped from job to job, and there's a lot of goodness from that. I learned from a lot of that, and while kind of job hopping, I kind of learned, oh, do work this way or do work that way. So I kind of had this kind of neo-traditional way of a design career, and then left the Cincinnati area, moved to Chicago with my wife, came back, and was at a place for a little bit, and then started the design studio. So I'm going to kind of talk about the upbringing of that, and then the weight of being a one-man band in a career that, you know, is pretty demanding, and there's a lot of people who want certain things of you, and designs this, that, and the other, and balancing all that stuff. You know, the analogy I use quite a bit is, I feel like every time I get a new client or there's a new project or a talk, whatever the case may be, it's just another stick with a plate spinning on it. So I have to just sit there just spinning the plates and, you know, hopefully none of them fall off the stick. So talking about that and just the benefits of that, the rewards of that, the troubles of that too. It's not all fun. It's not all easy, but there's goodness to that because it's all yours at the end of the day. So,
and when you talk about risk too, will you sort of hit on the idea of good risk and bad risk?
Yeah.
I mean, I think there are some options there.
Yeah, you know, risk is one of those words to me, and thinking of this talk, it's one of those words to me like cheap or expensive, good or bad. You have to kind of know where the person's coming from. You need to know a little bit of foundation, a little bit of substance, then for you to judge what's being risked and what's being rewarded. And I think I'm going to tell, in telling my story, I'm going to tell times where I was completely vulnerable and I was like, I have no idea what's going on. And risk was majorly apparent, whether it's financially, whether it's publicly, professionally, whatever the case may be, and kind of how I navigated through that or how I'm still navigating through that, because I'm not on the other side of the mountain by any means, and just kind of sharing that, because I think a lot of people feel the same way no matter what they're doing. If they're in a cubicle or if they're in theater, whatever the case may be, everyone has some dreams or aspirations that they might be handcuffed back from because of whatever the case may be. And so for me, it's just sharing that story, and hopefully they can have a little bit of discovery in me telling my story. They could be like, oh yeah, maybe, you know, it might be good just to put one step forward and kind of see what takes me, because the unknown, that's a good place to be.
When you do the talks, and all of you that have attended, is it interactive or do you just sit and listen? I mean, can you raise your hand? Do you talk to your friends afterwards? How does it go?
There's Q&A at the end.
Yeah.
And usually the Q&A sometimes is more fascinating than even the speaker.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's the audience's opportunity to ask questions. And then usually at the end, if you want to talk one-on-one with the speaker, I think mm-hmm. You can do that.
Have you done that? I mean, have you learned a lot from people just afterwards or?
Yeah, especially the Q&A part has been very helpful. Sometimes the speaker sometimes is a little shy, and it seems like once the Q&A gets going, mm-hmm. you get to the heart of the story, mm-hmm. you know? And it's interesting, too, because a lot of the speakers will have kind of, on the outside here, we know of that person as this great success. And when you go to their presentation, you get to hear their journey of how they got to be this in this position. And the journey to get there isn't always beautiful. And it makes you think like, oh, you know, maybe I could do something like that. So there is some inspirational message there. It's good to hear like what really did it take to get there? And, you know, what were the things that person really had to do?
We are talking about Creative Mornings, and we're going to continue our discussion in just a moment. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. We're talking today about Creative Mornings. Joining me, Cincinnati chapter host and UX UI designer at Listener, Jeremy Toby, April's event speaker, Durham brand and company founder Austin Dunbar, and frequent Creative Mornings attendee and assistant director of communications at Union Institute and University, Michelle Roth. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk at wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. And we have a call now from Justin in Walnut Hills. Hi, Justin. What's your question today?
Hey, I was just calling in to very interesting, this Creative Mornings thing. We're actually in Walnut Hills. I'm a pastor of a church called Missio Dei, and we are inside Essex Studios. We occupy about 12,000 square feet inside the studios there, and it's home to over 100 resident artists. And I would love to have Creative Mornings come in and us sponsor the coffee and the space to cultivate design and creativity in the city. Being a creative myself, I used to work at Epiphio Studios before I came on staff here at church. And we just love the arts and the culture and the story that it's telling of the people of our city. So we'd love to have you.
Well, there you go.
Well, thank you.
You have an offer. Well, thanks so much for the call. That's great. Have you attended any of these so far, Justin?
No, I know a lot of my former colleagues have, and they've always said high things about it, and I just haven't had the opportunity to catch up and get out to one. But how would I go about getting you guys to come and be here, hold a Creative Mornings here?
Absolutely. We would love to talk to you about that. The best way to get a hold of us is just shoot us an email, cincinnati@creativemornings.com. Those go directly to me, and we can connect and chat a little further.
Also, my producer, Pete, said if he can take the call and then take that information down from you as well, and then he'll get it to our guest today as well, Justin. So thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
Again, our number is 513-419-7100. If you have a question you'd like to call in, you can also email us, talk@wvxu.org. We are on Facebook and on Twitter. Let's talk about Cincinnati's, I don't know, creative quotient. Is it a super creative city? How does it compare to, I don't know, you hear about Portland and New York and Chicago and Seattle. Where does Cincinnati fit in that mix?
I think, you know, when we started this chapter, part of the process was to kind of, part of the test for us was to make sure that we knew our city well when we applied. So we had to do a lot of background digging. And I think a lot of the people around here, and it happens in any part of the community, we're kind of oblivious to the sheer amount of history that we have in all of our areas. I mean, with P&G starting here, we're kind of in some ways considered like the birthplace of package design. You know, we've one of the few cities in the nation that have a symphony, a ballet. You know, we've got the Contemporary Arts Center. We've got all these resources that a lot of the locals don't quite know that we have. And then you look at our workforce of creatives. We have so many designers and creatives of all aspects around here. We just haven't necessarily always had a good place to kind of galvanize and connect all of them. Historically, it seems like it's a very siloed city. At least it was when I was in DAP back here, way longer than I care to admit ago. And it's nice to see the kind of, it's nice to be a part of trying to help that, but it's nice to see those walls break down a little bit more. And the desire for everyone to want to communicate with each other, to want to learn from people who don't do what they do all day long.
Austin?
I think for me, there's a lot of... There's a lot of local talent here, and when I do work and when I have some of the local talent that I look up to and they appreciate my work, to me, that means more to me than someone in Brooklyn or L.A. and Berlin or Tokyo, whatever the case may be, liking that work. You know, if someone I know face-to-face, whether it's designers, industrial designers, just people I look up to in general, just as humans and kind of what they're doing, if they're like, hey, man, that was really good. I was like, are you sure? Like, are you sure? Are you positive? And that affirmation is, I think, authentic and it's very real to Cincinnati. So the difference between, you know, LA and New York as far as like design and everything else, you know, Cincinnati literally is in the middle. And I think it is in the middle of all that. People are now starting to come to Cincinnati. I get messages all the time. I got one yesterday from a person who just moved here from San Francisco looking for design work. That you didn't hear that 10 years ago. You didn't really hear that 5 years ago. And there's these new kind of transplants that are coming in here because there's a vibrancy and there's a currency here that people are looking at, and they're looking at Cincinnati as the new place to kind of go to either start a new business, start a new career, whatever the case may be. And there's goodness to that. So, and there's just a lot of local, honest, good people who are doing good, hard work. And it's very apparent.
So. Michelle?
I think for the size that Cincinnati is, it really does have this outstanding creative community. And a lot of other cities don't realize we have this. I also think that, you know, it is so great to go to Creative Mornings and see all of these people there. And it kind of gives you, like, it's a nice thing about Cincinnati. And it makes you feel like, oh, there's all these other people doing this stuff, too. And that usually falls on the same Friday as Final Friday. So you can do Creative Mornings. And then you go to the art museum that evening and Final Friday. And it feels like, wow, I mean, there's so much going on here. You know, there's people just like me where it's great that we have people that aren't, they're not only creative people and artistic people, but they're interested in getting out there and seeing the stuff and buying tickets to shows and going to the museums and going to lectures. That it's a city that has a lot of creatives. It's not too big. And there's something that's nice and accessible about it, that you can be a leader here. You can follow your own path. It's not an overwhelming city. So there is something nice about if you want to get involved, it's the size where you can get your name out there. You can get a business started. So I think it's a nice size.
What about what other cities, people in other cities think of Cincinnati? Does Cincinnati have any kind of reputation outside of this area for creative work?
I mean, I think that it's getting more exposure. I think that reputation is becoming much more positive in the last even just handful of years. Mm-hmm. And Austin, you know, touched on it too. Like when I graduated from UC in, was it 2003? Almost no one that I graduated with stayed in Cincinnati. None of the designers in any of the disciplines that I was around. That's not the same anymore. And to Austin's point, like people are coming to Cincinnati because our reputation is starting to improve. Mm-hmm. It's not even necessarily, I guess, that it's improving. It's that we're actually starting to talk about it and own our accomplishments versus that kind of Midwestern, we just don't want to talk about it kind of attitude. There's a bit of pride that's coming back and saying, you know, we can play with Brooklyn. We can be on the same page as Portland.
The secret's out.
Yeah, and I get phone calls too all the time, and people are asking, "Hey, do you know anyone in Cincinnati we can pay to relocate?" And that's all over the place.
Really?
And that's happened a handful of times that people have either gone to Chicago, gone to New York, gone to Austin, or gone to San Francisco based on some of the creatives I know in those places, just because they know the caliber of people coming out of the Cincinnati region. They just know it, you know.
Are people eager to leave, or is it like the old tradition of Cincinnati where nobody wants to leave once they come here?
Who wants to answer that? Leaving, going and coming back is great because you have something to kind of checkmate to. You have something to kind of be like, oh, so for me, I was gone for not that long a time. It was a little over 2 years. And the region, specifically Covington, so where I live, where the studio is and everything else, completely changed. Over the Rhine, it was completely changed when I came back. And it was like, how did that happen so fast? I think there's goodness to that. And I think that's also what's catching kind of out-of-towner eye, looking in and saying, oh, listen, they actually are this prideful community, and they are kind of picking themselves up by the bootstraps, and they're putting work down and doing good things.
Yeah, I think that plays off of what Michelle just said, too. It's like the size of our community gives you that ability to be able to make a change. So if you just decide one day, you wake up, you're like, I don't like how this is working, I'm going to be a part of the solution, it's pretty easy for you to get involved and affect that change. You don't have that ability in a lot of the bigger cities. Mm-hmm. So it's been fun for us to be a part of that and just sit down and go, hey, we're missing things that we want as individuals. And a big part of that was that community too. Like we want to be able to, you know, get together with 100 people and say, hey, I've got this idea. Can you help me with that? And just shoot things off each other. So it's nice to be able to say that you can play a role in getting all these people together.
Mm-hmm. And Creative Mornings, of course, does get together once a month. You can find information on our website at WVXU.org. Thanks so much, all of you, for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you. We've been talking about Creative Mornings. My guests today were Cincinnati chapter host and UX UI designer at Listener, Jeremy Toby, April's event speaker, Durham Brand and Company founder, Austin Dunbar, and frequent Creative Mornings attendee and assistant director of communications at Union Institute and University, Michelle Roth. In just a moment, we'll hear about the history of the abandoned Cincinnati subway, which is now 100 years old. Thanks to Alicia Bryant for listening to 91.7 WVXU today.